Good morning once again. I guess, hey, kids, before you leave church today, come find me, introduce yourself to me, and I will have a treat for you, and you will understand after your parents will hear an analogy that will go along with the treat you will receive if you come and talk to me. So, before you leave today, come see me. My name's Nate, and my wife's at least nice. I don't know about me, but at least my wife's nice. I'll give that to you. There's something about being at a new church and speaking to a group of people helps me and has me ask the question, who am I speaking to? Who am I speaking to? I didn't know that I was going to introduce myself so that before the message, and the question that some of you are still looking at me and saying, who is this guy? Who is the guy that I am standing in front of me? And the fact is that we are defined by many things, aren't we? We are defined by the jobs that we have. Today, as you can see, I don't want to mess up the sound system too much, but there are all kinds of different hats that we wear. You like this one? You know? You want to be the sheriff? That's the hat that Aaron wears in our house. You know, she's the boss. She's in charge. You know, this one is beat up pretty bad. You know, you have that old hat that your wife wants. Guys, how many of you have that old hat that your parent, that, and wives, some of you that want to just, that your wife just wants to, I don't know where it went, honey. It just got lost. That old hat. This is 4.5 years old. It has still East Richland, the old name of our high school on it. And the Tigers, as some of you, as I told some of the young people today, I'm very involved in that and that. This was a hat that was getting very special to me. My father-in-law that passed away, we lost him last January, and he loved wearing hats like this, and this is a foaming hat, okay? He wasn't a foamer, but he did a lot of work in the foam with some relatives and things like that, and so there's those special hats. You know, as parents, you know, you have to put the hard hat on sometimes, right? The construction hat, you know? And sometimes we have to, this reminds me of Vacation Bible School. You know, a couple years ago we had this theme at our church with the cave. And you have to be a light to this dark world. Some of you are going to do that this afternoon, this evening, right? Fishing, you got the fishing hat. That recommends that you're fishing. This is a crazy hat, okay? Sometimes as a youth minister, you have to be a little crazy. Some of you think it's crazy that I'm doing youth ministry at age 36. This hat represents the cardinal sin of my wife. I'm just kidding. Being a Chicago Cub fan, I couldn't find my Cub hat this morning. Yeah, some of you are blessed by that. But we all enjoy wearing our hats of our favorite teams, you know? And some of us still have teams that are in the playoffs, and some of us teams actually made the playoffs. Cardinals, Cubs. Anyway, but the fact is that as we wear these hats, it represents something that we all. There was a man 2,000 years ago with a hat. His name was Jesus. That hat was the crown of thorns. That hat represented to us redemption and grace. That same man said the words in the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at. Blessed, blessed. Let's stop there. Blessed. What does the word blessed really mean? Does it really? In one thought, it means more than happy, more than just content with the standard. The fact is, more than happened. Blessed, he goes on in chapter 5 that we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed all these things. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And today we're talking about blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And it makes us wonder, are we truly pure and whole? I'm going to reference the story of Genesis chapter 3 today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And I'm going to reference those verses and the story of Adam and Eve. The two people who got to walk and talk with God. The two people that spent face-to-face time with the cradle of the universe. They were people just like we were, people that made mistakes. And the fact is that if we define these people, we think of the tree of good and evil. We think of all the first two human beings. And we ask the question, who are we? Are we pure in spirit? How do we become pure and whole? Well, the first thing is the definition of whole. The whole is not just an organ, friends. The whole is the center of the person that you are. The center of the emotion and your will and everything that you are is summed up in the whole of the person. And if my professors of from Ozark Christian College were here, they always taught us at Ozark, context is king. If we read these words, we have to understand who Jesus is speaking to when he's saying these words. He's speaking to a Jewish audience where Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law, tried to tell them that the impression that you make, who you are, is all about the outside. Which is very contrary to all through Scripture. Remember the story of David? David is going to be the next king of Israel, and he goes through all his brothers, and finally get to David, this small, ragged, rugged shepherd boy. Pretty handsome dude from what it says in the Bible. But and what Samuel says in 1 Samuel 16, he says, God, man looks at the outward appearance, but God, he looks at the heart. God looks at a heart. My friend Doug Malks would say it this way. He was a professor at Ozark Christian College. He loved working with clay and pottery. And he said, if I don't make the inside of the pot, if I don't make the inside of the pot that I'm creating strong, it's going to fall apart from the outside. I think that'll preach, don't you think, Mel? The inside of a person is what God looks at. Who are you when you cut yourself open? And some of us, if you're anything like me, anything in my life, I've seen myself in two different camps when I think of who I am when it comes to my personal purity. The force that I see, and I see it in Genesis chapter 3, and I see it all through Scripture, is we are not worthy. We are not worthy of what God has done for us. I think Isaiah says it best, that compared to God, all righteousness is like filthy rags. Filthy rags compared to our God. Paul says in Romans chapter 3 that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, what we deserve for sinning, church, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. He goes on to say in Romans that no one is righteous, not even one. Sometimes we get this idea that, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I mean, I go to church. I attend church. We get this idea that we're worthy by the things we do. We are not worthy by anything we've done. We are only worthy by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And it's only by His blood we are worthy of the Lamb. And it's only by Him that we're worthy. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see this story of the serpent. If you're following along, the verse is basically, the serpent says, did God really say that you're going to die? He doesn't want you to eat from that tree because you're going to be more like Him. Friends, we are not more like Him by anything we've done. Because we have sin in our life, and we are not worthy. And the enemy continues to trick all society, doesn't it? Well, you're good enough. I mean, you don't say that many cuss words at work. You've not killed anybody. You're okay. You're all right. But we have to understand we are not worthy of what God has done for us. It's only by trusting in Jesus. It reminds me of an old hymn in the church that used to sing, "Trust and obey, for there's no way, no other way to be happy in Jesus, but then to trust and obey." And what does the word blessed mean? More than happy. You will only be content. You will be only more than happy. You will only be blessed and pure in heart if you understand that you're not worthy. But that worthy unworthiness allows us to trust in a God who we can trust in. And the second lesson today in Genesis chapter 3 about being pure in spirit is we're not worthless either. Amen? We are not worthless. In Genesis chapter 1, what does he say of Adam and Eve, the first humans? He made them in his image. He made us in his image. And I love the mountains of Colorado and how beautiful they are, but they're not made in the image of God. I love the clouds. I love watching clouds. My mom and I have done that since I've been a little boy, but they're not made in the image of God. That tree stand, gentlemen, that you're probably going to climb up to later this afternoon, it's not made in the image of God. Those animals that we see around us, they're not made in the image of God. You know who's made in the image of God? You and me. I had a friend say, and I said this to Miles today when I was talking to him in Sunday school, that when God cuts you out, when he cut your pattern out, he threw it away because there will never be another you. You are not worthy, but you are not worthless. But for so long, I let the enemy try to tell me that I was worthless. A little bit about me and my testimony. I grew up in Indiana, had 8 letters I couldn't say when I was in kindergarten, and I had speech teacher after speech teacher tell me there was nothing you can do. You're not going to be able to preach. You're not going to be able to teach because you can't talk. But by God's grace, I've had the opportunity to be a missionary in Canada, been in youth ministry for 16 years, been able to speak and preach in many places, including Oil Belt and others. And I speak in front of you today only because I have learned that in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. And that He has made me and fearfully, wonderfully made me. But for so long, even before college, when I was in college, I still struggled with this idea until one morning I was called to preach at this little church in Oklahoma. Doug, you see where I'm going. I've told you the story. And this little church in Oklahoma, and this little church, and this little lady comes up to me after a preach and said, "It's great that you preach. It's awesome. When did you move here from Australia?" Ma'am, I'm not from Australia. I'm from Indiana. Oh, that's funny. That's a good joke. You're from Australia, right? And she said this about 9 times, you know. Finally, I just got sick of it and said, "Put no shrimp on the mommy!" I didn't know what else to say to the lady, you know. I mean, what are you supposed to say? I didn't get asked back to preach at that church, and I wonder why. But I realized something that day, and I've realized something through the years. That no matter what, how God has made me, that does not make me worthless because He has made me special and unique and He has made you special and unique. And do not let anything in weaknesses, and especially in the area of purity, of being pure and whole, don't let Satan remind you of your past. Because when Satan reminds you of your past, you should remind him of his future. Amen? Because the fact is that no matter where you find yourself in the area of purity, You are not wolvy and you are not wolfless. So who are you? You are a wokel. You are a waitle. You are the one who is going to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to continue to strive. As Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy, for we labor and strive in chapter 4, verse 10. For we labor and strive, for our hope is in a living God. Romans 8:20 thing, all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Who loves God today? God has called you to this church, to this community, to this opportunity because His plan is for you to be here as you continue to walk and wait for Him. I remember, here comes the analogy that the kids are going to ask you about. I remember one time when Aaron had to wait for this guy that was coming and meeting her for one of the first times. It was the second time I ever met Aaron, and we met in Terre Haute. She grew up in Greenville, Illinois. I was living in Kokomo, Indiana area at the time. We met at a church, and so we met up halfway, and I was lost, and I was in trouble. First date, lost, not a good combination. And to make it even worse, I had to go to the bathroom, and I pulled into the gas station, and she's texting me, and she's asking me, where are you? And I could see the frustration from the text. And then I saw something that would change my life for the rest of my life. I saw a Kit Kat ball. You're like, what? I grabbed two Kit Kat balls, and as I walked into the Starbucks, the look on her face said it all. I handed her the Kit Kat balls and said, sorry, give me a break. I was lost. And she is sitting here today, so you can tell that she laughed. Sometimes we find ourselves lost when it comes to the area of purity. And sometimes we feel like we just want to give up. But we have to understand that God, when He sent His Son for us, while we were still sinners, He died for us. He gave us the break that we need to have eternal life. That doesn't give us license to sin. It doesn't give us license to keep sinning. No, that grace might increase, as Paul says. Paul says, by no means. But it gives us the opportunity, the hope, to have a relationship with Jesus. Just like that Kit Kat ball. God has given you the opportunity to experience Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in all weaknesses, His strength is made perfect. See, the audience that was listening to this sermon of Jesus, they have been beat up by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It kind of reminds me of that song that we used to sing at camp. How many of you sing the song, I don't want to be a Pharisee, because you still not fail, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee, because those sad, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee. You know why the Pharisees and Sadducees were so sad? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Do you today? Is your hope in a living God? So when it comes to your personal purity and being pure in spirit, then you will see God. And this is the part of the message that I talk about, seeing God. When you continue to strive to be pure and whole, you will see God walk in ways that only He can walk. He says, "In the faith, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move." And some of us need to move those mountains by the strength and the confidence that God can do, and when He walks in and through us. But we walk up the church today and we feel discouraged because of the sin in our lives or because of the situations that we face. And let me tell you, give those things to Jesus. And Jesus will say to you, as He said to the disciples in Matthew chapter 11, come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. as the worship team comes forward, I know that there are some people in this room that need prayer. There are people in this room that need to find peace in their trial, in their storm. One more story and a few more comments. And I'm going to ask you to come, and Mel and I would love to pray with you. Or if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe this is a time that you prepare yourself for communion, where we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I want to quote you with one last story. I have the opportunity to be the chaplain of the football team in Alney. And I've been very close associated with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for many years now. And so I've had lots of great opportunities to talk to many coaches, but I remember talking to a group of coaches from Clinton Prairie High School. That high school wound does not mean anything to you, in Little Frankfort, Indiana, after they lost to Lafayette Central Catholic about 6 or 7 years ago. They lost 96-0. 96-0. What do you say to kids after they lose 96-0? It took everything in my power not to go to that Catholic high school and get out my whip like Jesus, you know. The fact is, I was a little frustrated after hearing that they lost 96-0. So I asked the head coach as I was trying to encourage him, I said, "What did you say to your kids after that?" He said, "I said nothing to them. I simply wrote on the board, this game is behind us. See you at 10 o'clock tomorrow. We still got work to do." How brilliant is that? Some of you came into this room feel like you're losing 96-0, that you have lost 96-0, and God has a message for you. He still has work for you to do. He still has a plan for this church. He still has a plan for your individual and your family's life. And no matter what you face today, be clear of this. Those who are pure in heart, those who strive to be pure in heart, you will see God in amazing ways. You will see God in amazing, practical ways if you just open your eyes and you put your eyes to the heavens and say, "Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of me, who has created me in, not because I have arrived, not because I am there, not because of anything I've done, only but because of His grace. Because we are not worthy. We are not worthless. But Ephesians 2 tells us we are His workmanship. We are created His created masterpiece. And He continues to walk in us and through us. Reminds me of Mike Matheny, what he said to me when I got to go to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes event. And Mike Matheny said when he was approaching the job to get the Cardinals, he talked to Joe Torre, which is the former New York Yankees manager, and Tony Russo. And he said, how does it mean to be successful in the major leagues? He had this huge notebook. He said, "I was prepared to write notes after notes." And Tony said, "Never stop learning." And Joe Torre said, words that will always be, words I always live by, "You don't arrive until you arrive." That'll preach. That'll touch someone's life. Until we arrive in heaven, we continue to walk our salvation in fear and trembling. And I pray that you got a message today, not from me, but from the Lord saying, "You matter to me. I have work for you to do. I have made you in my image. So keep striving. Keep being pure and whole. and you were promised by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself that you, my friends, will see God. Let's pray. And if you have a decision to make for the Lord, I'm going to ask the elders to come forward and prepare ourselves for communion. And I pray that you would find peace for your soul today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you touch our hearts? And I pray that this message today would be a message of redemption and that someone would find peace and hope and love and grace and peace as we try to be pure and whole so that we can see you walk in and through us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.